This week it's Chris McCann's turn to join us from Blevins Franks. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm very well, thanks, Howard. It's nice to be back.
Yes, and it's nice to be in September at last.
Oh, it's a joy, isn't it?
Yes.
The weather's a bit cool. It's a bit cooler and there's a lot less people.
Yes, yes, indeed. Our listeners have obviously increased, actually, I think, in September. A lot of people come back. So we've probably got a bigger audience. So anyway.
Good.
Last time you were here, we talked about inflation and the importance of investing so your savings grow enough over the long term to keep pace with inflation. Well, following on from that, today Chris will share some principles of successful investing to help improve returns while reducing risk. So, Chris, how easy or hard is it to invest successfully?
Well, Howard, look, successful investing is hard, and reaching your investment objectives is no easy task because financial markets are complicated and financial markets can also be very unpredictable. However, by having a better understanding of investment principles, you can avoid some of the common pitfalls. And by following these principles with the help of a trusted financial advisor, there's no reason why you can't turn your objectives into reality.
Okay, so let's look at some investment principles to help people avoid pitfalls. Let's start with trying timing the market. Is that a good idea or not?
So really one of the biggest mistakes that investors can make is the market timing mistake. I've seen it throughout my career time and again. We're going to talk about all facets of that today, and this is something that Blevins Franks likes to do. We are going to be running through a number of different areas, starting with the siren song of market timing, which is really just the allure. What is drawing people into market timing? And why are we all falling prey to this siren song? We're going to talk about the evidence behind market timing and why it's so difficult. Then we're going to get into the emotions around market timing. And finally, we're going to be talking about how you should think about your portfolio to avoid the perils of market timing. So when you talk about the siren song of investing, if you were to look at a chart of the performance of the US Dow Jones Industrial Average over the last 100 years plus, it has been a very, very long run of just epic double-digit returns. All kinds of things have happened over that time. World wars, assassinations, epidemics. I mean, everything that you can think of has happened, and you still get a 10% rate of return. And then you look at what people have to go through to get these. It's a volatile journey. And that's what this whole conversation we're having today is about. People just can't handle that journey. They want to avoid pretty much all the downside and get the upside, which is impossible. One of the reasons you get that 10% long-term return, which is really the best inflation-adjusted return of any major asset class, is because you have risk. You have downside. But still, we want to believe that we can avoid all the downside. The idea is that if you avoid all the negative returns and get all the upside, then we're going to be much better off. That's what's drawing us in. Whenever I talk to clients or prospective clients about market timing, as part of our philosophy, avoiding it and what to do instead, they typically say, "I don't do that." But at the same time, they might be sitting on a significant amount of cash. And I ask, why are you sitting on that cash? They then typically say, well, I'm waiting to get past this election, or waiting for the capital gains tax situation to change, or I'm waiting for the pandemic to end, or whatever the thing is that's happening at that point. Currently, the common reason is that I'm waiting to see if we have a recession. All these things are market timing. You're basically saying, hey, this isn't the time. I'm going to wait for another time. The evidence is overwhelming that it doesn't work. The issue is it's just one decision, but over and over again, we're going to have this decision to make. If we're waiting for something to happen or to unfold, more often than not, we're going to be punished for it. We're actually not going to be rewarded for all the due diligence that we're doing. We're actually going to get lower returns. Again, when speaking to clients and potential clients, some say, my friend got out at the top, got back in at the bottom, or there's an advisor telling me that they have a perfect system to get in and out of the market. I think most listeners will have neighbours and friends and family who claim they can do it. I'm afraid it's just universally nonsense. It's like when somebody goes to Vegas and they win. They tell you all about it, but it probably wasn't the only time they went to Vegas. They probably went to Vegas 10 times. Especially if you win, you're more likely to do it, and the odds are just simply against you. So it's one of those games. The longer you play, you don't get better. You are just more likely to lose. So in actual fact, you have a very big group of people that aren't telling you the complete story.
So let's talk about the evidence for why market timing doesn't work.
Absolutely. Okay, let's talk about the evidence. There's a whole lot of it, but I think there are a few reasons why the odds are stacked against you and why market timing is so hard. Firstly, markets are pretty efficient, which means that today's news isn't going to help you time the market. Whatever that news story is, it's likely already reflected in the prices of securities, and it's forward-looking, which means, again, that if something bad is going on today, the market could already be looking ahead to something better. Secondly, markets are upward trending in that 3 out of every 4 years, we all know that the markets tend to go up. So if something tends to go up and you're trying to sell and get in at a lower price, well, most of the time that's going to work against you. Then we have the issue of being right just once isn't good enough. So you've got to get out at the top. Great. Good for you. Whether it was skill or luck, it really doesn't matter. You got out. But now you have to get back in, because eventually the market, as we know, has always recovered. And it's that getting back in at the right time that really causes problems for people. Finally, I think this is one that's really overlooked. There's a cost to timing. There's short-term capital gains to consider. If you start timing in and out and you have short-term gains, you can erase a lot of those benefits. When looking at historical returns, data suggests that we don't have to time things perfectly to do well as an investor. For example, let's look at somebody who invested $2,000 each year for 20 years from 2001 to 2020. If that person invested in cash, they would end up with around $44,000. Obviously, we know staying in cash doesn't work. If that person invested in the Standard & Poor's 500 index, the 500 leading US companies, and was absolutely perfect in calling the tops and the bottoms, they wind up with around $151,000. Now, if that person invested in the Standard & Poor's 500 index and did no research and did nothing, they would still end up with $135,000. So it's clear that the gap between perfection and just throwing money in is not significant. And we know that nobody's perfect.
Do you find that people make emotional decisions when buying and selling investments? Could this be detrimental?
Well, we're all human beings, so we're emotional and we get scared. The real key to successful investing in risk assets is to not get scared out of them. Every year, we have a reason to be scared because every year, the one constant is risk. There's no year where the market just goes straight up. There are market declines every year, year in and year out. But if we look at the long term,
the markets have gone up in spite of this, which to me means as an investor, you have to be thinking of risk as a feature, not something to fear. The history of investing is a history littered with corrections and bear markets, and so we're constantly faced with reasons to sell. When you're living through them, it can feel like the end of the world. And I think it's normal for people to feel like we're not going to get out of it, that this time is different. I think the only thing that can provide some type of comfort and some type of rational response in terms of your emotion is to look at the bottom line, which is that every type of bear market in history, every one of these crises have ultimately recovered with a new economic expansion, a new all-time high. Really, it's a bet on prosperity in the future. If you don't think that we're going to have technological innovation, continued consumerism, and that companies are not going to be doing better 20 years from now, you shouldn't be investing. It flies in the face of what we know. So I think you have to be optimistic to be an investor. But if you're a pessimist, maybe the markets are not for you, because there will always be a reason to sell, and it will likely be costly.
So, I think we've pretty much established that investors shouldn't be market timing. But what are the some things they should be doing instead? What are the some things we should be thinking about?
I think it's interesting. People spend thousands and thousands of hours building their wealth, but they don't spend a couple of hours every now and then to handle their own financial plan. So I think firstly, you have to have a plan. Where are you? What are you trying to accomplish? Where are you going to live? What's your tax situation? Is it going to change as a resident in a different country? These are all important, because they will directly influence your biggest decision, which is what the asset allocation of your investment portfolio should be. If you have a good advisor, you're educated by that advisor and you have a plan, it becomes a lot easier to keep your emotions in check. If your emotions are in check, then you get your opportunities to outperform. You get those corrections. You get those bear markets, which are your opportunities to shift your asset allocation from bonds to equities. This is how, over the long run, you'll wind up having a real chance of outperforming a pure buy and hold investor. It might happen once a year. It might happen every 5 years. But those are your opportunities. And it's very hard to do if you don't have a plan and an allocation that allows you to keep your emotions in check. As an investor rather than a speculator, you're extending your holding period of time. You're getting rid of that noise. Instead, you're thinking about years instead of days. You're keeping your emotions in check, so you're not jumping into bubbles and selling out after panics with the masses. In brief, if you have a portfolio that you feel good about and really matches what you're trying to do, it becomes a lot easier to accomplish what you want.
So, Chris, when choosing which assets to hold and how much of each, how do you get the balance right?
Typically, all around the world, investors tend to have too much exposure to their own market. The market they know best is typically the easiest to invest in. As many of the potential clients I speak to are from the UK, despite now living in Spain, they tend to retain too much exposure in UK-based assets. Statistics show that if you have a well-diversified portfolio of investments, you'll often achieve better returns. Different assets or regions will perform differently and can often vary significantly year to year, and the diversification that comes from this varied performance can help reduce the risk of having all your assets drop at once. So by having a managed, diversified portfolio covering a range of regions and asset classes, tailored to your individual requirements, will likely generate better returns with less volatility.
What about past performance? Is it worth looking at which funds have performed the best when deciding which new funds to buy?
Unfortunately, using past performance as a way of encouraging people to invest in hot or fashionable funds is widespread. I'm afraid that I regularly come across advice which involves recommending a portfolio of funds, normally around 10 individual funds, which are supposedly the best performers in their peer group. All I would say is it doesn't take much research or analysis to look at a list of funds and their performance over, say, the last 5 years and pick the ones at the top of the list. What one must consider is that the best fund 1 year can easily be the worst fund the following year. So choosing a star fund manager isn't a sure way to guarantee ongoing top performance. Data provided by one of our investment partners shows how easily successful funds can fall from glory. It shows that the performance of the top 25% of fund managers tends to weaken over time. For example, of the 21 companies in the top 25% of performance for 1 year during 2018, only 14 remained in the top 25% a year later. To succeed in today's market requires an additional layer of diversification across fund managers and asset classes, and a dynamic portfolio management approach can help your investment portfolio to respond to changing market conditions. Blevins Franks work with investment partners that have researchers and analysts that scour the markets for the right opportunities on your behalf. They use their research to develop sophisticated portfolios that combine the skills and talents of diverse investment managers. They not only spread investment risk by investing across asset classes and geographies, but also across manager styles, with the aim of delivering more consistent performance over time. Finally, they monitor and adjust the portfolios in line with changing market conditions, with the aim of giving you the returns you need, but with a level of volatility that helps you feel comfortable to invest for the long term.
So, how do you help your clients to invest successfully? Let's say someone has had the same portfolio for years now. How should they go about reviewing it and rearranging it to work effectively in today's investment world?
Firstly, we suggest that listeners look at their existing approach and arrangements and ask themselves if they're confident that they're fit for purpose. As we've discussed today, it is time in the market and not timing that will ensure that you achieve your longer-term investment goals. Jumping for the exits at any sign of bad news will likely lead to poorer returns over the longer term. And if you feel that you have succumbed to such emotions in the past, maybe it's time to have a discussion with your local Blevins Franks partner. Also, if you feel that you or your current advisor is relying too much on past performance to decide who is managing your portfolio, again, maybe it's time to have a discussion with your local Blevins Franks partner. At Blevins Franks, when building a portfolio, we follow a simple, disciplined process. The first step is to agree what your objectives are. The second step is to agree upon a plan to achieve your objectives. And the last piece of the puzzle is to decide upon a suitable, well-diversified portfolio to achieve your plan and ultimately your objectives. As part of this process, from a risk point of view, we take each client through an academically designed suitability process, which helps us to determine their attitude to risk. With all this information, we can then ensure that they have a potential to generate the returns they require to achieve their objectives, but also ensure that they do not take on too much risk. Having put the plan in place, it's then essential to have a good quality investment managers to make investment decisions on a day-to-day basis. And it's also essential to have a trusted advisor to ensure that you are patient and stick to the plan.
Lots of interesting advice there. Well, thank you very much, Chris. And of course, the place to first contact point is the website, blevinsfranks.com.
It is. Listeners can visit our website, as you say, blevinsfranks.com. There's lots of information on there, which includes some of the things I've been talking about today. They can also fill in a contact form. And if they do, somebody from Blevins Franks will be in touch to suggest the most appropriate next step.
Always a pleasure. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you very much, Howard. Look forward to it.